Hey dudes, it's the Great Debates.
Oh, is it Surfer Week?
What's up?
Whoa, take it to the beach.
Yo.
How cool would it be to sit on the beach with a transistor radio listening to Great Debates? Cool. People would come over, they'd be like, what is that?
Oh wait, that reminds me, I wanted to ask you something. What do you think the word cool means?
You know, cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those words, you just gotta get it or you don't.
Right.
If you have
so
to ask.
You think a guy listening to debates on a beach is a cool guy?
I think the image of in my head is very cool. There's bikini babes and there's like a blanket and everybody's like, hey, and there's waves are crashing and they're listening to the debates on an old radio and some people come over. They're like, yo, you got the debates? I've got the umbrella. They're just about to set up. Yeah, take your spot over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
You bikini tell, debates.
Can we all agree Medina is cool?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. My definition of cool might be like, does Medina think this is cool, basically?
That's
Medina,
pretty good.
Cool. Does the image I just described to you sound cool?
Sort of.
Yeah. It's not cool.
Let's have a micro.
Okay. 3 minutes on the clock. Listener top. Listener Hannah Cruikshank sent this in. Hannah, this is a great top. We love it. Are you ready, Mr. Steve, to take the pro? The topic is, it's okay to spit on the street.
Okay. I'm taking the pro. Look. Your spit is not the worst thing that's ever been on that street. Birds shit on it. Dogs shit on it. It gets cat piss on it. It gets rained on every once in a while. People's feet are stomping around on it. Like, a little bit of spit ain't gonna kill it. So you can go ahead and spit on the street if you need to. Like, is it ideal behavior? No. But there's a lot of non-ideal behavior that we basically allow, and spitting on the street should be one of those.
You're totally misunderstanding what the issue is. No one's worried about the integrity of the street. Mm-hmm. No one's worried about the cleanliness of the surface of the street.
Mm-hmm.
This is a public decency issue. You don't do it just because you don't want to be... It's not... People don't like to see spit coming out of a person's mouth. That's why it's not okay.
I hear you, yeah.
There's simply no reason to do it. It's, I mean, maybe in the case of an emergency where your mouth is on fire, I don't know, you need to spit something up. Okay.
Definitely if your mouth is on fire, you're allowed to.
Yeah, I guess. But the bottom line is that if you're just walking on the street and you feel the compulsion to spit, don't spit. There's no reason to. Someone might see you. And different people have different attitudes about, like, what is too gross to be seen. Some people get kind of grossed out by spit, and I understand that. It's kind of gross. When you think of spit, you know what's weird about spit is we have it in our mouths all the time. And it's, for some reason, not gross at all when it's in our mouths. But then if you think about spit outside of the human body, it becomes disgusting. There's got to be there's probably an evolutionary reason for that. I don't know what it is. But I believe that our basest instincts are to be revolted by spit when it's not in our own mouths. That's why you shouldn't spit on the street.
Look, I agree that it's not great, but it's, you know, you burp on the street, people eat on the street, the toddler's having a tantrum on the street.
Eating,
like, a lot of not that great
like
stuff.
People like to watch eating. Like to watch burping,
should people
though?
Be courteous about it? Should you be cool about it? Should you not, like,
what's the way
do
to be cool about spitting
else?
On the street? Guys, just a heads up, I'm going to do a little spitting right
like,
now.
You know, you're walking past, like, kindergartners, and you're just wantonly spitting on the street. That's
okay,
not
so
ideal.
Here's what I think.
But look, you have to
if
spit super bad.
We're arguing whether it's okay to or not. If you have to introduce all these caveats about, like, how you're going to go about spitting, then I think that actually proves
okay,
that it's
Dave,
not
look,
okay
look,
to spit on the street.
Is it okay to drive a car? Yes. Then, well, okay, but what if you're really drunk? No, it's not okay to drive a car drunk.
Like, yeah, that's the difference between,
the basic behavior is okay. Just use some coolness. Use some judgment. Use some sense. Use some respect for other people. That should go without saying.
I think that if you're spitting on the street, you're not showing respect for other people.
Yeah,
you can't say, you can't put all these qualifiers on it.
How many, you have to spit... I would say I have to spit, like, I don't know, what, 50 times a year? Like, you really got to get one out there.
I got to tell you, Healy, that was an amazing estimate because I was worried. Let's just put the debate aside for a second. I was worried that you were going to say, you were going to try to, like, push the issue and say, like, you probably have to spit, like, 3 times a day.
Uh-huh.
But no, you picked such a reasonable... But, like, that's exactly the ballpark I was going
to
be in.
Somehow in this debate, I've really locked into being really trying to be reasonable. I think because it's, like, if we're putting the debate aside,
I think we are.
I don't really think it's okay. It's not great. But if you have to do it, go for it.
You know what I think?
What?
It's fine to spit. Because
I think you made the great argument that the spit
itself. Of course
itself,
I did.
But, yeah.
I'm an incredible debater.
I actually think this, like, seeing somebody's sickly spit on the street is very...
Hey, let's do something we've never done before. 2 minutes on the clock, role reversal.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
It's okay to spit in the street.
You're pro.
Yeah, we've all seen spit on the street, and it doesn't gross you out. It's perfectly okay to just spit a little bit. When you spit, you know how to do it. We're not talking about hawking loogies. We're talking about spit. You want to get a little extra moisture out of your mouth. Everyone is going to understand what you're doing. And really, here's the point that Healy should have made, is that how many times, if you take the sum total of people walking on streets, how often are other people going to see them? Yeah, maybe if you're walking around New York, there's other people around, but you also, everyone knows how to spit and not be seen. And most people, when you're walking on the street, you're not going to be around other people. You walk around your neighborhood where there's, I mean, it's the hundreds of thousands of miles of sidewalks in this country that there's usually zero people on. It's so perfectly fine to spit on the street. No one's going to see it. And just don't be seen. You're fine.
Ask the listener to draw in your mind, call up the image of the most beautiful, like, idyllic city or town that you can imagine where you'd like to live. The streets are clean, cars are going, it's quiet, there's a pleasant breeze, maybe there's a band playing in the park nearby. It's possibly it's in the future, and there's the cars are like hovering a bit. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
And now imagine that a man produces from his mouth a substance that is 99% water, and it slowly drops onto the gorgeous street. And everyone shouts in horror because it's been so defiled, the natural beauty of Oslo or whatever the fuck you're picturing.
Going. Now picture a filthy, aggressive, unhappy, foul, uncivilized place. Immediately you have people spitting into their filth in this medieval times, carts going by. It's the dog snarling and a man spits in the street. It's got gunk in it. It's foul. That's a part of the foulness. We're moving forward to a more civilized society. Let's take spitting on the street out of the stuff that we accept and move to a world where we're cool about that. And we live in civilized, neat and tidy streets. And if you need to spit, you go into the bathroom or duck yourself behind a tissue and spit into that. You don't shoot it out onto the street for everyone to see.
I think we misassigned the roles in that debate the first time
around. Yeah, could too. Be. Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
That was good. That was a better version, I think.
I don't know, man.
I learned something about spit.
Tell me.
Oh. It's basically blood with no red blood cells in it.
What?
Your body filters the red blood cells out of the blood, and then it is spit. I'm reading this great book called Gut by Julia Enders.
Yeah, cool. Is it just about the human body?
It's about the gut, our most underrated organ.
Neat.
So cool. Fascinating book.
How'd this book...
My mom sent it to me.
Okay. She just mailed it to you. It was like, Dan, you're going to love it.
Seriously.
Great. I love it.
And anyway, yeah, spit, blood.
Now,
clear
Healy,
blood, no red blood cells.
Mm-hmm. A few seconds ago, you said neat.
Yeah.
And you meant it, and you weren't being like a little boy's voice or anything.
Yeah.
I think you're one of the few people who can pull off saying neat, mm-hmm. and it doesn't raise any sort of alarms. It's like... Well, that's a weird choice of words, right?
Interesting.
Now.
That tells you a lot about the kind of guy I'm presenting as.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. What do you got for host chat today, buddy?
Host chat is going to be gripping.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Here we go. Here we go.
Love it.
Because we are having the election now. We have candidates and stuff, right?
We have candidates. Yeah. We have stuff. Yeah.
And like, it seems to me that people don't often take enough time to stop and think, like, what does the president do? What's the kind of scenario he might face?
Okay.
Or she. So I came up with just some like, now this, I don't think this is the bulk of the president's job. I actually think the bulk of the president's job is just like presenting as calm and
preserving
the Constitution, right? Making sure you don't do anything unconstitutional.
Okay.
That's the job.
Right.
But there's also like the crisis, the phone rings, the emergency.
Yes.
And how do you handle that? So I came up with three hypotheticals.
Okay.
And I want to find out how President King would handle those, and then we can talk about it, whatever.
Okay,
you ready?
Yeah.
So you're woken up in the middle of the night, you're in the White House, and they're like, okay, one of our aircraft carriers...
Wait, is this the presidential challenge?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, this is round one.
Okay.
One of our aircraft carriers, a nuclear-powered carrier, has lost power, and they can't get the power back on, and the ship is drifting towards Iran.
Okay.
What do we do?
Have they gone dark?
No. The communication, the electronics are functioning, but the ship's propulsion is dead.
What's the last intelligence we had with them? What's the last time we were in contact with them?
We can basically, it's a little spotty, but we can more or less talk to the captain on the phone.
Okay, so we got to go get them.
Go get them.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to buy a generator, and then we're going to take the generator on a different boat, and then get the generator from the different boat onto the boat that's gone dark, that doesn't have electricity. Problem solved.
Medina, what do you think of Dave's response to the challenge?
Pretty good. Yeah, like, hey, well, let's call a tow truck, right?
Was that the kind of answer you wanted?
Yeah, that was great. I think you maybe, like, didn't ask enough questions, or we learned a bit about your temperament.
I didn't know if I was even allowed to ask questions.
Oh, yeah, you're allowed to ask questions. Yeah, yeah.
So I'm in the sit room, basically, and I can ask whatever questions I want. All right, give me the next one. Let's see.
Presidential challenge, round two.
Okay, no, but just so you know, I haven't thought too far down the road of the questions. Like, you might ask questions I haven't thought of.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. I figured that was the case.
Round
I
didn't think two. Okay, are you ready?
Yeah. Are you sure you don't want to ask President Medina, or do you want to?
No. Keep going.
Okay. I like asking you, and then President Medina kind of weighs in.
Okay.
I'm nervous suddenly.
Of course. These are high stakes.
Okay. Right? Go ahead. Situation change.
Okay. So you're on Air Force One. You're flying to a state visit to Australia.
Okay.
And they wake you up. You're just about to wake up for Australian morning.
Okay.
But it's the dead of night in the United States. Okay. I haven't checked out whether that works, but I think
What's the fucking thing?
Okay.
I'm terrified over here.
Okay, one of the Supreme Court justices has died.
Uh-huh.
A female justice.
Yeah.
I don't want to say which one.
Okay.
But she's died. And when she died, she was in the company of another female justice, and they were in a hotel room. And the circumstances are very scandalous. Mm. And we don't know who knows what. The living justice booked it out of there, but, you know, cops saw her, people saw her. She's probably on camera going in or out of the hotel. How do you want us to respond to
this? Okay, what are the news agencies currently reporting?
They haven't started reporting yet, but they're, like, breaking. We have reports. Justice is dead.
What's the most that justice is
justice
dead?
Justice A, let's call
do
it.
They, yeah. Is there any reason for us to believe that the press is going to be able to find any concrete evidence that this other woman was there?
I mean, there's a lot. They were in a hotel. Like, we don't know what the camera situation is yet. Probably not in the room. The crime scene is, like, being handled by the FBI like a crime scene, or the DC police.
Have we heard anything from her closest friend on the Supreme Court?
No.
Okay. Here's what we need to do. We're going to get the press secretary out ahead of this. She's going to issue a statement. We're going to get our best speechwriter. I'll just say Sam Seaborn.
Okay.
Sam's going to write up a first draft. I want him on that immediately.
Okay.
We need to be ahead of this story.
Wait, what's the statement say?
The statement is right now we're issuing simply we're going to give her as many accolades as possible about the great work she's done. It's going to be a very matter-of-fact press release with limited amount of facts. We're not going to take any questions at this time during the first presser.
Okay.
And we're going to track the information
as
it comes in.
You think we should have a statement, like, right away in the middle of the night?
Well, as soon as a Supreme Court justice has passed away, this is a monumental event, and we need to be, not only for the purposes of this possible scandal that's going to come out, we need to, simply because this woman was an incredible servant to the American law, we need to pay her proper respects.
Okay. That's it.
Can I tell you, I'm exhausted, I'm terrified, I hate this.
Yeah. Medina, what did you think of Dave's response?
I mean, yeah, issue a statement and hopefully the FBI's got it. I think you need to talk to the lead investigator at the FBI. I feel like the Secret Service needs to be involved. We got to control the camera footage. Someone talked about to the hotel.
It's the middle of the night, chill.
What the hotel manager says. And let's get the justice on the phone and find out what the fuck she was doing over there.
Wait.
What's she prepared to say? How's she
the justice?
Oh, there was Justice B.
Justice B.
Oh, I didn't realize that the other woman was also a justice.
Oh, sorry. Would that have changed things?
No, I blew it.
Okay.
I was way too concerned about the public image. And you're right. I should have gotten the intel. Call the FBI. Call the CIA. What do we need to know? The local police officer. God, King. Get your head out of here.
President
your ass.
King. Hey, every president makes mistakes. They have missteps, whatever. Are you ready for the third question?
Third round presidential challenge.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess.
President King. Okay, it's a Saturday. You're at, like, the White House picnic, whatever, for the troops or something, and you get the message. Are you nervous? What's up?
I'm nervous.
Okay. Yes. Terrified. I mean, who knows what this
could
be.
Okay, here's what's happening. In Washington State, a volcano is erupting. Okay. The governor of Washington State is a Republican, and he hates you, and he's immediately been like, we don't want any federal help. The President King, stay out of this one. The people of Washington are going to be fine. But, like, your guys, the volcano experts are like, this is going to be when this thing blows, it's going to blow a hole in the state. It's going to be a disaster.
Okay.
But at the moment, it's just kind of rumbling smoke.
Tell me what you know about the volcano. How many people are at risk in the immediate vicinity of the volcano?
Immediately, not that many. It's like 20,000 people. It's pretty rural, but like, you know, how big is this blow going to be? We don't know. We're getting all kinds of reports.
So we're getting reports that it's going to blow? Is this a Mount St. Helens situation?
And there's a little bit of like hot lava coming
Actual
up.
Lava. So this
Just
could,
a little bit for now. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, let's talk to the National Guard maybe or some other, or the Red Cross. What are people saying is the best possible way that we can help these people? Do we need to evacuate them immediately?
Great. I love that.
What are they saying?
You want to keep playing? Okay. Yeah. They're saying, okay, look, we could get the 15 to 20,000 people out of there no problem if we call up the troops, but it's like, then we're deploying federal troops.
Okay. Here's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Get me the Republican governor on the phone with him immediately. I need to have a talk with him.
Okay.
The time for political differences is over.
Wow. Love
on
that.
Top of that, he may be the governor, but I'm the president of the United States, and no citizens of this country are going to die or be homeless or be affected in any dramatic way on my watch because of a lack of government intervention. The one responsibility above all that a president has is to make the people of his country feel that they are safe when circumstances beyond their control overtake their lives. I'm the president. I'm calling in the troops. I'm sending him the money whether he wants it or not. And we're going to make sure not one person is devastated by this tragedy if we can't help it.
That's great.
President King is really coming into his own in his third term.
Third term.
That
very
felt
presidential.
That felt very good.
Very
like
presidential. Yeah. That was cool.
That would bring
you
it
put
on.
Politics aside.
Yeah.
You didn't even think about that.
I didn't care, man.
That was cool.
Over the top. Very good.
Wow. I'd say great job on the
Approval
presidential
rating.
Challenge.
Yeah. Hey, guys, let us know what you think of President King.
Yeah,
tweet at us.
It was exhilarating.
Yeah,
that sounded fun.
Yeah, it really was like the sort of thing where you, I don't know, roller coaster or some sort of thing where you're like dreading doing it. And then once or twice, you realize why you dreaded it.
Yeah.
And then the third time, you're like, the things that are scary are the things that offer the highest reward.
I mean, I don't want anyone taking the presidential challenge that doesn't have a lot of seriousness about the presidential challenge and the stakes.
Fair enough.
This is a great parlor game. Mm. I hope that people out there are going to start playing the presidential challenge at like, you know, wine and cheese parties.
Cool.
And stuff.
All I ask as the inventor of presidential challenges, when you do that, say that you heard about it from Great Debates.
Exactly.
Good call.
Thank you.
All right, let's main it up.
Okay, guys, I've got a top. This is not a listener top. This is a host-submitted top.
Ah!
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm terrified because you have the confidence of President King now.
Okay, here's what we're going to do,
it's
though.
It's like, I'm
my approval. By the way, can I tell you what happened?
Yeah.
It was a huge success. Not only was the volcano not as dangerous as we thought it was going to be,
but
we got everyone out way ahead of time. The Republican governor ended up looking like a fool for not taking the help. Mm-hmm. My approval rating is at 64% right now.
I'm like the senator running against the incumbent. Like, this is how scary
it
is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. What do we got?
Okay. We've got a debate. Traditional roles. Healy taking the pro, but Dave's going to go first.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
We're going to do con first. We're switching a lot of stuff up today.
It's a wild
It's fine.
It's a wild
episode.
It's fine. Okay. Topic up for debate. Healy taking the pro, Dave going first. Most stained glass is pretty.
Okay. Most stained glass on Earth is not pretty. When you think stained glass, your mind goes to the best case scenario of stained glass. That's stained glass in churches or old buildings. Yes, some of that can be pretty. Most stained glass is in the form of tchotchkes or cheap little gifts or in like houses in suburban homes where the stained glass isn't of high quality. Most stained glass also uses a color palette that isn't that pleasing. Glass is a difficult thing to use with color. So instead of a consistent sort of like, unless we're talking about like the, you know, beautiful cathedrals of the world, you're talking about a color palette that's like done for reasons of economy and convenience rather than actual aesthetics. On top of this, stained glass is a difficult art to actually make. You have to do so many different things just to create this piece of art. You have to cut the glass. You have to. There's safety is included. So it's not only drawing, glass cutting, gluing, soldering, all of the different elements to take. It's very hard for one person to be a good stained glass designer, and most of the stained glass is inferior quality. That's why. Most stained glass is not pretty.
Okay, I know we don't like to do this usually, but I'm going to use one of my questions to the moderator before I begin the debate.
What the hell is going on?
Okay, moderator Medina.
Questions to the moderator.
Would you say that a beer bottle, like a green beer bottle or a brown beer bottle, is stained glass?
No.
That's just brown or green glass.
Yeah, I mean, I'll hear what you want to say about that.
No, I'll leave it out. I just wanted to, like, I myself wasn't sure about it. I don't like to be lawyerly about the debates. Okay, let's get
Do you think those are pretty? Are you going to use that in your favor?
Holding a bottle of beer in your hand, you can't argue with me that that isn't a pleasing thing to look at.
Wow. I mean, I really thought that would... Look, we got our answer from the moderator.
Yeah, so let's move forward.
Okay. Moving on.
Okay, look, most stained glass in the world, I'm going to guess most of it is still in churches. Probably 50%. 50% cabinet or, you know, domestic usage of various kinds. I think, let's start with the churches, most of that is pretty. Not all of it is at the level of, like, Notre Dame in Paris, which obviously has, like, insanely beautiful stained glass. It was, like, the visual effects of its day. Like, peasants would come from miles and miles to see the sunlight come through the cathedral window and would just be mesmerized in a way that we are when we see, like, Avatar or something. So that stained glass is the highest end. But I concede most of it isn't at that level. But, yeah, most of it in the church, 50%, is still very pretty. In the domestic side, cabinets, windows, so on, a lot of it is fairly bad, but I think most of it is still pretty. Tchotchkes and stuff, I think, is not more than 5% of stained glass, and I think, again, more than 50% of it is pretty. So yes, I think most stained glass is pretty.
Your tchotchkes and the like are way more than 5% of stained glass. If you just walk through the aisles of Target, you'll see decorative stained glass for sale. I bet you that the sum total square footage of stained glass that Target sells every year is bigger than the number of all of the stained glass in all of the churches of the world. There's just not that many church windows. Also, by the way, a lot of church, like more current churches, the art's not that pretty. Oftentimes, stained glass, you can't even tell what's going on. It's trying to depict like biblical scenes, and you can't see, you don't know who's who. It's actually like a bad art form for the places that use it, because to tell biblical stories, you need like actually a fair amount of detail. So when you look at these windows, you have to go like, you have to know what you're looking at, otherwise it's meaningless to you. Who is that woman? That could be Mary, that could be, you know, Sarah, Rebecca. I don't know who the hell I'm looking at. Healy? Okay. You got anything to say about any of the great points I've raised?
What do you think?
Also, just think about the average like frame that a piece of stained glass goes into.
It's going to be
like a mid-tone, shitty, cherry wood. It's not going to be like a nice frame. It's actually very difficult to frame.
Okay, as listeners should probably know, this is a debate topic I've been avoiding for a long time because Dave is really, really passionate about it.
And I'm not even that passionate. I just thought it'd be interesting.
I can barely summon the energy to think about it. It's so boring to me. But I was willing to do it. So, Dave, just be a sport. Break down for me how you think most stained glass is distributed.
In terms of like total square foot as a percentage of square footage,
square footage we'll use as the measurement.
I think it's roughly 12% churches or municipal buildings.
Okay,
roughly 12%
churches and munis. Okay,
yes, I think it's roughly 12. Okay. It could be 11, could be 13.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, I'm going to say it's about 15% residential homes.
Okay.
And then I think, what am I up to, 27%? Mm-hmm. I think about 73% of stained glass is what I would call commercial stained glass, meaning it's wind chimes, objects for sale, decorative stained glass that you're supposed to hang somewhere, souvenirs. I mean, that's really where most of the stained glass is made. Also, maybe I would say like another very small percentage, maybe 2 or 3%, would be stained glass that's made in like art classes or as actual art projects by artists.
Okay. I think that you're obviously living in a very different world of stained glass it's like an ever-present nightmare.
When you wake up you walk and you go to work, how many stained glass stores are you passing every day? I've seen, to me, every time I drive, there's a new stained glass store. There's probably 30 stained glass stores on my commute.
You know, the real irony to me is like, I almost think I'm in the top 2% of like stained glass interested people in the world.
Well, I've
like
sought out a lot of
unusual stained glass in cathedrals and old churches and stuff. When I'm traveling in Europe, I'm never missing the stained glass coming through the cathedral at exactly the right time. I love that shit. And like, for instance, in Paris, I can tell you the best stained glass isn't even in Notre Dame. It's in Saint-Chapelle. You have to go to this other place, which was like the king's private chapel, just to see the stained glass because it's so kick-ass. And you'll, there'll only be like 12 people there because nobody goes there.
Healy, man, I've seen stained glass that'll make me weep, buddy. You don't have to convince me that there's awesome stained glass.
Wind chimes are everywhere in your life, or commercial?
I wouldn't say everywhere, but I just think
where
that,
are you seeing the commercial stained glass?
Again, Target, literally gas stations. Like if you go to Maine and want a souvenir, one of your options is going to be like a stained glass picture of like an elk.
And you hate that.
Yeah, they're ugly. It's always like chunky and it doesn't. Yeah, I think it's not pretty.
Okay, I'm going to stop you there because there I think you're basically you're doing like a class bias. Like that's a tacky, cheap souvenir.
Tacky is a great word for it.
You get on a tacky, cheap vacation. But you know what? If you go with your kid, you live in Worcester and you go with your kids to Maine and you know, the souvenir stained glass elk costs $5 and you buy it. And like to you, it's beautiful because it represents the trip you took to Maine. Yeah, it's tacky, okay, to somebody who comes over, but every time you look at it, you think about going in the car with your kids on that trip to Maine. Beautiful.
Is that your final antler?
It's
okay. That's what a t-shirt in Maine at a souvenir shop said was a picture of the
Do you want to make a closing argument?
No, I want to be done with this as soon you as do. Possible. Yeah.
Oh, really? I kind of thought it was fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry.
All right, Medina, what did you think?
What? The debate was not even about whether or not stained glass is pretty. It's just about the composition of world, like stained glass. Like what?
I mean, this topic has been baffling to me. How can you have an opinion about it?
I didn't have that strong of a opinion.
That we debated. Like I've put it off through 10 episodes probably. And we had to finally do it.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I think it was a great, great discussion.
That's what I was
going to
say. I
wouldn't even call it a debate.
Yeah. So I got what I wanted.
Okay, that was a cool exercise to try to find something that mundane. mundane.
But you hate stained glass.
No, I actually just thought. I thought. Look, I'm trying to come when I come up with a topic. I'm trying to come up with something that I think is like kind of. Unusual, not first thought, but also has like
great,
good
great
reasons to argue for or against.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I, for whatever reason, was thinking about like stained glass is a weird thing. We don't see it that much, but there's many different forms of it. Yeah. Sometimes it's meant purely for aesthetic purposes, and sometimes it's meant like it also has like the you know the basest level of art, which is like a tchotchke or something.
Yes.
And I just thought the phrase "most stained glass is pretty" was charming.
There was
it is a nice
when
phrase.
I was a boy, when I was a child, there was a guy who lived across the street. He was an Italian craftsman who was a stained glass artist.
Is that true?
And he made all the stained glass in our church. And we would have to, one time he took us on a tour of like the stained glass factory. This guy could barely speak English. He spoke so much Italian. But he took us on a tour of the factory, the workshop, whatever you call it. And I was like, I couldn't believe what a boring experience I was having. Like,
really?
Pretty, not pretty. It's beyond that level.
Interesting. You have zero opinion about it in general, sort of.
I guess I thought it was like, meh. You know, it's better than just a window. The churches have stained glass. That was my main evidence of his work. But yeah, I don't.
So another question to ask for both of you. Do you think that good stained glass is pretty?
Oh, yeah.
It's
for sure.
Beautiful.
Of
right?
course. Yeah, for sure. For sure. For sure.
I'd love to see if any people out there, listeners, have pictures of stained glass, crappy stained glass they encounter. Send that in to us. We'd love to see
it. It's stained glass week.
Of crappy stained glass.
Yeah, because I'm really having a hard time visualizing.
Send
like,
pics.
Send good, bad stained glass, your opinions.
Post an Instagram with stained glass in it and tag the Great Debate.
That's perfect.
That's what we'd like everyone to
That's
do.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, they don't have to do that.
No, they should do that. That's crazy.
I feel bad. I don't want them to
do that. Are you crazy? They definitely should.
Let's get stained glass trending on Instagram.
Yeah, no, we're going to be, that's going to be our lives.
Can I tell you, where the most beautiful stained glass that I've ever seen?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
This is going to sound... This is... No. I just realized the second podcast episode in a row where I'm going to reference a trip I took to the south of France. The St. Paul de Vence Chapel.
Ooh, yeah.
In St. Paul de Vence, I believe, in France, is a chapel made entirely from Matisse art. Mm. He designed the walls and the stained glass just for that chapel, and it's stunning.
Is it on the water of this town?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm just wondering, are we going to visit it on the Great Debates cruise?
Oh, well, we'll certainly, when we dock at Nice, we'll go inland.
There will be an excursion available.
We'll go to Arles, go to St. Paul de Vence.
So look, if you're coming on the Great Debates cruise, you'll want to look for that in your program.
Yeah. We'll probably, if we have time, we'd like to, you know, stand on the bridge at Avignon so we can sing the song.
Right. Well, it's a 40-day cruise.
Yeah, so we'll have time. We should have time.
Yeah, we should have plenty of time.
And how much are tickets if people want to go to the website?
It's $12,000.
$12,000. For 40 days is not bad.
That's 40 days.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Did you hear about the Grand Cruise, by the way? Sorry.
Oh, boy.
How many people
were done? All right. Go ahead. Tell us about the Grand Cruise, but you got to tell us.
Bottom line is a lot of people got sick on the Grand Cruise.
Now, also, didn't a lot of people not know they were going on the Gronk cruise?
Well, they'd only booked up like half the boat or something. So some people were just on a cruise.
That is rough.
Okay.
Guys, that was an interesting experiment and fun at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Listeners, tell us what you think. Don't forget to post a picture on your Instagram of some stained glass and tell us whether you think it's ugly or not and tag us. Oh, and don't forget to sign up for the Great Debates newsletter. Yes. Great Debates News, GD News. It's so good and so entertaining and so fun. And I'm saying that not as a contributor, but as a reader.
I'm hoping you'll be a contributor.
I'm going to become a contributor. And if you have suggestions for the name of my column, tweet them at us. Okay, dudes, we had a great time. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us. Great Debates is produced by Mark Carosello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.